Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is primarily our Thessalonian text. But we need to be reminded that Paul really is just reiterating what Christ taught in the gospel. The gospel accounts of end times or eschatology, the last things. Jesus' teaching in the gospel is really the definitive framework by which we can see and interpret even the apostles' teaching on the end times. He was very specific. And of course, again, in the gospel account today, as it has been as we're leading up to Christ the King Sunday and the Advent season as well, reminding us of that second coming, but that when he comes, that he is going to be enthroned over the nations as the king. That is an objective truth. The world thinks it is foolish when we talk about, not only the first coming, his incarnation, that God would become man, incorporate humanity into his divinity. How ridiculous is that to the world? but also is this his second coming. In fact, Peter in his epistle said that in those days, just before his second coming, that many scoffers are going to come and say, where is the promise of his coming? We've heard this and it's gone on from the fathers since the beginning of time. So where is his coming? So we understand the theological and the religious environment that we're living in today. And much of that scoffing isn't just coming from the world. Actually, the world is much like it was in the days of Noah, at the preaching of Noah, that they went about life, as Jesus said, just going about and being married and giving and married and going about the normal task of life. They didn't care about the preaching of Noah warning them about a future judgment. They didn't really care to know anything about that God was trying to draw him back to himself after the fall. No, they had no interest in that at all. So Paul is telling us exactly, kind of recapping to us about these end time events so that we will fully understand the nature of those things that we can know and the things that we can't know. Again, there is a lot of disinformation in the world today, and especially in the church. You'll notice that Jesus' instruction were to the children of Israel, those who were called out to know him. He was in covenant with them, but they had gone astray. He warned them in the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins, how 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They were all virgins. Paul today is telling us exactly the same thing. In fact, he's talking to a congregation that he is actually somewhat proud of because they have been attentive to the teaching of Christ through his apostles. And when he's talking to them about this end time event, he writes to them, I don't actually even need to or write this to you because you know fully that the day of the Lord, the second coming, is going to come like a thief in the night. He says to them, this is certain. He says, when the world is just absolutely distracted by the things that are going on around them. In fact, actually, the world is going to be distracted by what? They're going to be clamoring for peace and safety. The power of the world in conflict is going to draw them away from any kind of religious teaching about some coming of a Christ or a God or any of that type of thing. No, their whole life and the whole world is going to be unsettled by peace being taken from the world. That no one is safe in the world. Well, we can see that today with the rise of terrorism. We see it with the rise of competing totalitarian governments and structures around the world as they're trying to gain power and influence. And really, that's all predicted by the teaching of Scripture as well. that there will finally come into being a one-world government and a one-world force. And of course, we understand that like in the days of old, both the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, and His church are going to ultimately come into the crosshairs of their vision for persecution and to silence their voice. Those are the days that we're living in. And Paul reminds them that's what they're going to do, but then all of a sudden destruction is going to come upon them. Like a woman in giving birth and birth pains, they're going to come rapidly and intensely. But then he says to them, but you, brothers, you know that Christ is coming this way, but you know that it isn't going to take us who believe, who have come to know Christ through the gospel, who have been baptized in His Spirit, are His children, who have been clothed in His white robes, His righteousness, not my righteousness, not your righteousness, but those white robes of righteousness that He Himself cleansed and made them white by His own precious blood. When we believe in Christ, He went to Calvary's cross and shed His blood for you and me, that we're not saved by being good religious people. No, we are saved solely by believing the Father's message that He sent the Son into the world to save us and to redeem us. No works of religion is going to save you. But if you believe the message of the Father that Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and those who believe in Him have passed from judgment into life, because that's what's coming is judgment. No, that's what brings you into that safe harbor. Your faith in Christ. And when you abide in that faith, see, faith isn't just a static one time, I believe, I got it, I had an experience, whatever it may be. No, it's a dynamic thing. It's always moving, it's abiding. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're going to have access in prayer to the throne. God is going to give charge over His angels over you. He's going to never let you stumble in any way. No matter how bad the events of this world, no matter how the darkness falls, no matter how many of the trials and tribulations come to shake you out of your faith, when you stand firm in that faith, Jesus Himself says, I am the author and the perfecter of your faith, and I will not let you stumble. But just as Jesus gave warning to the people, the Jews of that day, about abiding in the faith of the Messiah, so Paul here is reminding us too that we should not slumber during the times that we're in. No, we need to stay awake. And how do we stay awake, as Paul would say here? Because we're the children of light, the children of the world, this event is going to take them like a thief in the night. But Paul says, you're not children of the night, you're children of the day. You have been instructed with the gospel. You have received of His Spirit. You abide in His Word, where you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we gather here. We're like a marathon runner. We exercise ourselves week in and week out with coming and hearing the words of God as we grow in that knowledge and that grace, being strengthened by His Spirit, so that when that day hits, we are absolutely in condition to run that race, to be able to stand. We put on the full armor of God. We've clothed ourselves. In fact, Paul in this reminds us of this teaching that goes back, and again, it encompasses the whole of the fall. Remember when Adam and Eve were created and they were put in the garden. It says that they were naked, but they didn't really realize, they weren't conscious of it, not only because of sin, but also because man was created to be like the angels. We have an eternal spirit. We're an angel basically inside in a physical body. Those will never be separated. We'll never be just like an angel without a physical body. But as the angels and Christ Himself and the whole accompaniment of heaven is there, they're all clothed in clothes. That's what they were made for. I really believe Adam and Eve were fully clothed in those heavenly garments. And the day that they sinned, they realized they were naked. That garment departed from them. In Jesus' teaching on him coming like a thief, two of them are really interesting. Well, there's many of them, but they go and they refer that we not be found naked and ashamed. It's like if you were a believer and you become unclothed, then all of a sudden that spiritual garment has disappeared from you. Why? Because you chose to not abide. You chose to walk away from those promises. And so it is here, just like the 10 virgins. They all were participating. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But only 5 of them had put oil in their lamps. And that means as you abide in Christ and you're in the church and you're growing together. It's even our liturgy, as we read at the opening liturgy, when we examine our conscience. It says, if we say that we have a fellowship with God, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's abiding faith, that's walking, that's growing in Christ, that's looking forward with expectation and hope at that second coming. It says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, that means we have fellowship with God too. It's a relationship. It's not just knowing about God. It's a relationship. If we walk in that light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. What constitutes that we come in here and we have fellowship with each other? There's people that come into church and they're there for a lot of different reasons. It's not necessarily the gospel. But if we walk in the light, then we have real fellowship with God and we have fellowship with one another. And then it says an interesting thing. And then while we walk together in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It sounds like we're in a spiritual laundromat with that blood making our garments and keeping our garments white, doesn't it? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus talks about here and also the apostles. How are you clothed? No, we are clothed by faith in those righteous robes of Christ. And so then Paul goes on and says, listen, we're not the children of darkness, let's not fall asleep as the world does. It falls asleep, gets drunk and distracted from the things at night. But let us be sober. He's not just talking about a physical light with us. Again, it goes back to that light in darkness walking in our spiritual journey. So we are to, what does Paul say? No, we're kind of, he says, clothe ourselves with faith and love. Put on the breastplate. That's clothing. It's also armament. Put on that breastplate that covers our heart, our spiritual being, because the scriptures are very clear. Guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Yeah. What does the devil go after? What does God want and what does the devil want? Your heart. It gets that, it has you. God wants your heart. And he tells you, guard that heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Yeah, we need to guard that heart. So that's a breastplate. And then he says, and put on the helmet of salvation, which is our hope, the knowing, the understanding. Well, here's faith. True faith, as the writer of Hebrews says, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Faith that has salvation isn't a wringing of the hands. Boy, I sure hope I'm going to make it someday. I'm not really sure. I don't really know. No, that's not biblical faith, folks. No, faith is that God has given to us the strength of his power of his spirit is a certainty of the things the scriptures teach. I know Christ died for me. I know he was sent by the Father from the beginning of the world after the fall to restore the creation. I know that for the fact. He is the Christ. His death and his resurrection have justified us in the sight of God. We can walk now, those who believe, into the presence of God, and we're justified. No, I believe that. That's the type of faith. It knows, and I know with the same certainty that the end times events and that he is coming the second time, this time not as the lamb that takes away the sin of the world, he's coming back as the fearful judge. And he's going to execute wrath against everybody who had rejected him and the Father's message and invitation into salvation to come to the Lamb. Come and drink of those waters of salvation freely, no charge. You don't have to be a good religious person and keep the law to make it into eternal life. And who has those words of eternal life? Peter said it well. Where should we go, Lord, when the others had rejected his teaching? Where should we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. You believe that? Yeah. We do believe it, don't we, saints? We believe it. And you know what? Paul says that's our helmet of hope. Right? That's our helmet. That knowledge keeps us strong, regardless, and the time is coming. In fact, there's a consensus, I really believe, right now. Jesus said when he gave us the parable of the fig tree, he says, when you see these things, know, not guess, know that it's at the door. I'm at the door. He wants us to know. Why? Because when we see his word come to pass and be fulfilled right before our very eyes, what does that do? It strengthens our faith. Do you know ignorance of God's word and the leading of us never gives you confidence before God? It doesn't. It strips it from you. No, that's why, again, our church year is based out about the first and second coming, why he had to come the first time and why he's going to come the second time. It's a time and it's an invitation for all of us to come. You know, if you hear the Spirit today, I don't know where any of you are. Only God knows where your hearts and your spiritual journey is before him. But if you hear his Spirit today, what's the solution? And you've found that you've gone off the path somehow. What's the answer? Simple. Jesus said, repent. Believe the good news that I am the Christ and I came to save you. And now come after him with all of your heart. Leave the things of the world behind. They can't save you in that day. But come and follow him. Come into his church. Come in and sit under faithful teachers. Come in and hear the word of God that you can grow in your knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what he wants you to do. Why? Again, what's the most famous passage probably in all of the scriptures? For God so loved the world, you, that he sent his only begotten Son for you. Kiss the Son, because he loves you right back. Amen.